Cinda.
Hey, Robert. I previously had Robert's microphone turned off, guys. Whoops.
Yep. Well, now I know how you really feel.
That's not true.
Well, we got to hang out this weekend.
And any weekend when I get to see Robert is a good one.
Yeah. We went to First Friday, and this time we went to First Friday in Old City. And we got to see some of our favorite friends.
Friends of the pod.
We hit them all up.
We missed a special one.
Well, that's true. Our faves, Museum for Art and Wood. We had to get to our reservation. That's okay. We've shown them love. Time. Exactly. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Always.
Okay, list two we saw.
We saw Jane Gallery. We saw Muse Gallery. We saw...
Surely that's not all. We saw the Ministry of Awe.
Ministry of Awe. Oh my gosh. We got to see Meg. We got to see Lynn. We got to see Mary.
The trifecta's all there.
Yes. And they had an opera singer right outside the Ministry of Awe.
I think it was more like...
An opera troupe?
An opera troupe.
It was great that that was actually going on because it pulled people down that alley.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if people know this right now, like the front... entrance to Ministry of All is closed due to all the construction.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go down the back entrance that's through an alley to get in to the bank building,
yeah.
Which is also super, super cool. And here's Meg making art with her friends and neighbors while First Friday is going on.
Amazing.
It's a blast of a time.
Last night I went to Ballet X at the Man.
How was it?
Amazing. During the first act, there was a downpour, which really added to the ambiance of the performance. As soon as the first act concluded, Petit Garçon said, I stayed up during the entire thing. And I'm like,
wow,
that's half of it.
Yeah.
And the oldest one was being a little naughty, so we actually left right before the second act started.
Gotcha.
Really, it happens. Regretting that, but... it was amazing.
Ugh.
Can't put words to it.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw Eli's mama.
Love that woman. Love that Southern woman.
Eli, friend of the pod.
Yes.
Hey, we only have this recording studio for 11 more minutes, so let's get to the conversation.
To the convo. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Dierland.
Hello, hello.
And today we have Evan of Works on Paper Gallery. We're so happy to have you.
Nice to be here.
So Evan, can you share your true Hollywood story with us and tell us a little bit about
trying
yourself?
Trying to figure out whether that was real or not. Yeah, I opened up in 1995. I had a partner. I was actually working for another gallery, and he was... a client of theirs, and he approached me to open up a gallery at 24 years old. I said yes.
Wow.
And I bought him out 10 years later.
Wow.
Made that deal to move upstairs, kind of keep the Rittenhouse Square address, and I've been there 30 years.
That's incredible.
That's the quick story. The quick, painless story.
That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine.
Yes. Sounds good.
Yes.
Trust me.
Yes. No, I'm sure it's had its ups and downs. And
breaking points.
Right. Yeah. You've seen probably so many artists come in and out there throughout the years. I had so many different partnerships through that time that you've seen probably artists start from nothing to grow to something, or artists from something grow to nothing, because it can go either way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a tough business.
And so with, you know, Works on Paper as a 30-something-year-old business, which is older than many of that we've had on the pod already, mm-hmm. What words would you share for someone who wants to pursue a career like yours as a gallerist?
Oh, wow. Like what I just said, I'm ready to jump into the cold pool. just rip that bandaid off.
Right.
Every time there was a breaking point, it was a test of my passion for it. Mm-hmm. It's where I stretched my most for the connections I had. It's where I was at my weakest.
Yeah.
Having good support system around it.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I thought it was going to break, that rubber band snapped back. probably it's 3 times now, including now.
What drives you to choose the artists that you do?
That I've been trying to figure out for a long time. But the one thing I do know is that I think based on survival in this business, meaning selling art all the time, I must have a good eye.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, somebody else has got to tell me that, but I can probably count out the ways of why I think I have a good eye.
Yeah.
Just because of the things I've had access to, mm-hmm. the artists that I've showcased and done well with, and I've definitely had artists that I haven't done well with,
yeah.
Where my eye didn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just the eye, it's the access, whether or not you think your clientele will like it.
Right.
I get approached by tons of artists where I like their work, but I'm like, I don't think my clientele will buy this. So I kind of push that aside.
Right.
You know, so whatever tastes or whatever I'm looking for, it just comes out of me and the connections I have. Instagram's amazing. The art schools are amazing. Referrals are amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, other galleries doing well with artists that I can connect with where we can share artists is a opportunity. Anytime there's an opportunity to put an artist out there.
Yeah, and how much is the clientele really driving those decisions? Those sways from where you thought.
So I guess it's chicken or egg. Chicken or egg. So
right.
I started buying. I had to be the one that opened up.
Yes.
So I was the one that was buying the stuff, and I got the city's attention at the beginning.
Yeah.
So that I didn't know if I had a good eye. I thought at that point, at that age, I just had good access. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't really know my eye at that age.
Mm-hmm.
And did you go to school for?
I went to the University of Maryland. I'm a Terp.
I'm a Terp.
No way. Look at these connections.
Mm. Bachelor of Arts.
Okay. Yeah. I went to the Maryland School for Architecture Planning and Preservation.
Wow. That's how I started in architecture, and then my teacher told me to leave.
Wait, which one?
I don't remember.
It may have been a dinosaur that was still there by the time
I was
there.
I know
there.
Is whatever project I submitted that he gracefully gave me a D on, he was like, you should be an artist. Because I didn't understand.
Wow.
I went in it as an art project
for
an architecture school, and I had no idea. And he was like, phew.
And the art school is right across the street there from the architecture school.
Yeah. So I did sculpture, painting, drawing, all of it. I did take some art history, but that was just prerequisites.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
We'll catch up offline.
But yeah. So Bachelor of Arts. Yeah.
That's incredible.
University of Maryland.
Yeah. And then right into the gallery from there.
I waited tables and then got wind of a gallery that had an opening.
Yeah.
So I took it. I got it. And then like a year and a half later,
mm-hmm.
my ex-partner was one of his clients, called me up, had lunch with him, gave me an option to open up the gallery with a deal I probably couldn't refuse, so I didn't.
Wow.
I had an opportunity with moving upstairs, kind of a real estate deal, where I was able to get out of my lease downstairs and get out of my partnership with my ex-partner.
Wow.
By moving upstairs.
Yep.
And at the time, it was a pretty good move, but I had no idea I was going to last that long. So,
yeah.
So I'm always reinventing myself in that place.
That's good. And when you're building that gallery, just at the start, do you lean more towards new and emerging artists, or do you try to find a mixture?
I didn't know anything when I was opening up the gallery. It was my ex-partner's thought process and idea.
Right.
So at that moment, and part of the reason we were called Works on Paper, was we sold mainly blue chip prints from the 60s and 70s and 80s. I mean, I was literally allowed to call the Roy Lichtenstein studio up and say, how many of those prints you got left? I'll take 2.
Wow.
I was right at the tail end of that market. I got in at a good time because 89 was a big crash.
Yeah.
By 95, it was recovering. 96, 97, I was in business. So timing was, and access and yeah. connectability. That's why you know I praise my ex-partner all the time. Like, but yeah, at the beginning it was mostly Prince.
Okay,
I would say. But, you know, I'm a breed, half artist, half business person, that I connected with artists really well. So I would do exhibitions with shows with paintings, drawings, photographs. I experimented with everything at the beginning to see where my market was.
Right.
How about this? I can't sell photography. Yeah. I know that.
Gotcha.
I don't think a lot of people in the city can.
I was going to ask, does anybody?
It's a tough market in this city, but I had to, you know, try and figure it out myself.
And do you think that's specific to Philadelphia?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah.
It always has been a tough market anyway, Philadelphia. Once you get in sort of the higher end collecting, a lot of people go to New York. It's a much bigger business there. I mean, I was going to New York there for a while.
When you started, was there ever a point where you're like, if this doesn't work for me and 1, 3, 5 years.
I was told that.
Yeah.
I was told that.
By the partner. Better get this. You better get this right.
My deal, I guess it doesn't matter. My deal was if you can keep this up for 5 years, I'll give you 50% of the business. But you have this amount of money to start with. And then it's over.
It's almost like sweat equity.
That's what it was. Sweat equity. So I opened up in October of 95. I made the deal with him in May. Worked out of his office for 2 months. He was in advertising, so I worked out of his office for 2 months.
Gotcha.
You know, because he started the business with a collection of stuff, and then we had to go buy stuff, and it was just that was my home base.
Right.
First computer. First time I really. I mean, I know they taught us when we were kids.
Did it have the internet?
No. That wasn't even.
Yeah.
Wasn't even on the plate until I had probably like a year after I opened. But that's a whole other story. Yeah.
Five years.
That was a deal. If you can keep it open for 5 years, January of 96, so that's about 6 months later, I come knocking on his door and saying, I need $6,000 or I'm not going to stay open. And he gave it to me. That was that really bad winter. So nobody was coming in. I had no money and I didn't understand budgeting or anything.
Yeah.
And he gave it to me. And I never had to borrow another dollar ever since. In fact, I wrote him a nice big check when I made that move.
Wow.
Yeah, so he made out on that deal.
That's incredible.
I made out too. We both made out.
Yeah.
I'm still talking to him.
Right. Oh, that's perfect. That's great. That's a good partnership then.
Still doing business with him. I'm here 30 years. I was only partners with him for 10.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
How do you find a balance of the inventory that you keep on hand?
I don't even know. So... you have inventory, right? At the beginning, he started me with X amount of dollars and X amount of pieces in inventory, and then I open up the door and I try and sell some stuff.
Yeah.
He was wealthy, and kind of the first couple years, he just loved, he had an addiction of buying art at auctions, and he would just buy stuff and then force me to pay for it, and I'm like, how are we going to pay for it?
Yeah.
He goes, no, you'll figure it out. And so he was doing a little buying at the beginning, which always frustrated me, because I was always like, no, that's not what I don't like that. So
right.
That's how I figured out my eye.
Right.
Like, a lot of that inventory, you know, I had to dump or I don't have or, you know, like I couldn't sell. I never really connected with it with the client. And my eyes always went towards, you know, the Warhol Marilyn, like right to the better looking stuff.
Right.
And so over time I stopped him from doing that and started taking more charge. And then by year seven, like I knew I needed to buy him out.
Right. And how do you keep that balance now?
So with art that has secondary market value, over the years, I'm always, like, whenever times get bad, I'm always dumping it. You know, my wife, she goes, we just got that show on Scully. And I'm like, I know, bad month. Right. So, like, I just stopped keeping, like, all the stuff in my house now is all personal things that I would never want to part with.
Right.
And the gallery is what I use for, you know, investing or putting money into.
Gotcha.
But also along the years, I end up buying artists' works by artists that I work with.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I
put up a show or I curate a show and I want the best piece if I can afford it that day, you know?
Yes.
So I have, you know, I buy a lot of artists' works. I deal in the secondary market stuff. And one of the other components that I did way from the beginning but wasn't very good at it and had to learn how to do it was publishing editions of multiples. So I was doing that from day one.
Wow.
I have over 50 to 75 editions under my belt, like from day one.
That's incredible.
Subbing it out to an expert to hand printing them on the floor in the gallery just to get the budget right.
Wow.
So all of those components, so what you say about inventory, it's a mixture of all that stuff.
Right.
And the one thing I found as I get further along in this, I'd rather not have as much stuff.
Yeah, right. Want to keep it light.
Or figure out the supply and demand of the project so that you can continually make stuff but always be selling it.
Right.
And that's you know, I always did it as a passion at the forefront. But right. Once I figured out that my business sense was better, it was nice to combine the two and pick the right things to do it with. So we've had some success over the years with editions and multiples.
At this point in your career, have you also found ways to work with a collector or a client, know what they're looking for, and then be a very quick in between, right?
That's my whole life. If you want to ask me one thing that's kept me around for 30 years, yeah. It was being able to do that. Recognize it at the beginning, have access to things. So the internet, bring back the internet. Didn't know it 10 years before, but that kind of changed the game a little bit. Yeah. When everybody knows what everything's worth, you know, you're right, not much of a dealer, are you? A dealer in what? The same information they can access on their phone?
Right.
So you have to have a little more savviness these days to try and make money on it when things are so relatively clear. There's things when there's only a few around in the world, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
When there's, you know, every city has one, then, you know, what's your market? Who are you playing against?
Right. And are you finding that your partnerships are better with other galleries or better with other artists?
It's all, every project is different. Everything that has the ability to alchemize, I like to call it, where two people can go and take something and make it into something. Everything's different. So I'm doing projects with artists, shows with artists, relationships with buildings where they want to fill their floors. You know, I'm working on a really nice Warhol deal right now. So if you want to be in this business, learn how to juggle.
Yes.
You need to find a few things that work.
Yes.
Because they're not all going to work at the same time.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
And when it is, recession's around the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time. I've seen
that's true.
I didn't want to believe it at the first time. I didn't even understand it the first time. But the second time, I was like, oh, there's some common characteristics going on here.
Right.
By the third one, I was like, oh, yeah, it was December of last year.
Right. I knew how to plan for this.
That's when it started.
Yes. I think the kids are saying recession indicators.
The art market has not been in good shape, and not many people want to talk about it, but the art market has not been in good shape for a good solid year now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember, you know, last August feeling stress and being like, I wonder if this is here to stay, thinking it wasn't.
Right.
And it was.
Yeah.
And then things started to pick up around January, so it was like a good solid year, and I would say, I wouldn't even say it's even good now. I would say it's better.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first quarter of this year was better than all of last year.
Gotcha.
Really?
That's how bad last year was. Just in terms of activity, you know, deals are selling. So it's a lot more people saying no, a lot more people walking away. Starting and stopping is what I keep calling it.
Gotcha.
A lot of starts and stops.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get to hit a few, sometimes you don't.
Yeah. And so for novice art appreciator who might be interested in starting a collection, what advice would you be able to give them?
We're starting an art collection,
yes.
Just to buy art.
Right.
At the beginning.
And
get used to buying what you can afford.
Yeah.
Get comfortable, get stuff on the walls, get addicted.
Yeah.
Understand values.
Okay.
Because, you know, under a certain price point, you know, what's this couch worth? What's this table worth? It's like, you know, what's a car worth? It's going to be worth less than what you paid for it, but you get to enjoy it. That you have an emotional attachment to it, hopefully. You're not ever selling it. It's not for that. Once you start wanting to spend some money, then you start thinking about, you know, how much of the value. People that collect watches don't buy watches that go down that fast. Sometimes people buy watches that do okay.
Yes.
Or cars that do okay.
Right.
Or Bitcoin.
Then you never know where it goes.
Right.
I speak from experience when I say that until relatively recently, I felt intimidated to go into a commercial or maybe even a co-op gallery. And I get the sense that there are others out there that feel the same way. So while I can share that most of those who are staffing the galleries have been delightful, and most of those who I've met have been delightful to meet, do you have any advice from your end to anyone who may be intimidated from visiting Works on Paper Gallery or any other gallery?
So when I opened up, we had a white box, and the business was a white box. You went to New York, it was a white box, meaning it's just a big empty space, nice on the wall, and a really intimidating person sitting behind the desk, and you just felt cold. You didn't know really how to approach it. But I'm telling you, after being in this business for so long, every one of those white boxes wants to talk to people about the art.
Right.
They want to make a sale. That they're in this business to sell art. I think if you go in with the attitude of like, they want me in here, they want me to look at this art, you kind of break through that barrier a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, when I moved from downstairs to upstairs, that was the big deal to me. I didn't want it to feel like a white box.
Right.
So that's why I have the couch in the back.
Yes.
That's why I have the front space for the gallery to do exhibitions. That's why I have the back space for the workspace to do my publishing.
And you've made it very comfortable.
Yeah, well, it's nice. Yeah, it's nice. Sometimes. Sometimes it's comfortable. Yes. But for everyone else, hopefully it's always comfortable.
So just
that's
go
the whole
in.
Point.
Yes.
Yeah, oh my God. I need you to come in.
Yes.
I want you to come in.
So speaking of coming in, you have an upcoming show opening on May 10th. Can you tell us a little bit about that and the featured artist?
He's a Staten Island-based artist named Chris RWK. He is recognized kind of in the street art culture, sticker culture. He started a website in the late 90s, early 2000s called Robots Will Kill, which is a site really designated for artists that don't have recognition to have a place to show their stuff.
Okay.
You know, whether it's pieces out in the wild. So it was user-friendly. You can just upload your own stuff. So that took off for him.
Wow.
And he has this awesome, cute little robot figure that is just endearing, and he has an awesome way of placing something so simple and so comic book like, kind of to make it look really personal and kind of hit you in a way.
Yeah.
So he touches on themes, hearts, birds, emotions, the idea that technology is killing us,
yeah,
but how do we live with it? We did a group show a couple years ago where he was one of the featured artists, and we did well with him. And generally speaking, when I start doing well with an artist, I want to approach the idea of a multiple or an addition, because mm-hmm. I feel like that's just the extra that we both can get together out of it, right, if I'm willing to take the reins,
yeah,
and make that happen. So I've been thinking about him for a long time. And I finally was like, came up with the idea. I was like, yo, Chris, you know, I'm doing all these cutout medals with Stickman. Mm-hmm. Can we please, you know, maybe figure something out where it doesn't interfere? And we came up with this idea together, and it's going to be great. It's a limited edition. But the show will be recent paintings plus the release of this multiple that we're doing with them.
Awesome.
Which is the first time I've ever combined that, actually.
Oh,
in
wow.
In 30 years. Yeah, yeah. And I've done both. Just never did a show about the edition.
That's great.
Right. So, yeah, that was cool.
This will be a first, everyone. So check it out.
And that will be opening on Saturday, May 10th?
Saturday, May 10th, 6:30 to 9:30. There'll be somebody outside to make everybody aware of where it is.
Speaking of, where can people find you both online and in real life?
WPR Collection is our new recent website. Has Excellent. Everything, prices, very transparent. And I'm at 1611 Walnut, right in Rittenhouse Square.
Right
in Rittenhouse. The mezzanine.
On the mezzanine, correct. I keep forgetting. Being
Excellent.
In that building so long.
Yes. So we have a couple rapid-fire questions to close out today. What is your favorite beverage at the moment?
Oh, wow. Orange juice.
Your favorite Philadelphia neighborhood?
Logan Square.
If you could have any piece of art in your home, no limitations, what would it be?
The Mona Lisa.
Excellent.
Everyone in the world
yes.
would probably say the Mona Lisa.
Nobody said it yet,
so it's great.
It's the one.
Yes.
It's the one that every single human soul knows is art.
Yes, that's so true. Which Philadelphia artist is the city sleeping on?
Keep checking back with me.
Okay, perfect, perfect. We will.
Like it.
Yes. Can you describe the Philadelphia art scene in one word?
Oh, kind of small and big at the same time. There's no one word.
Okay.
Philadelphia art scene, God. I mean, that's a conversation. That's not a word.
For Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Cheese steaks with whiz or without?
With.
And one quality that makes a great gallerist?
Personality.
Well, Evan, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great.
Awesome. And everyone, I love talking to you guys.
Check out Works on Paper Gallery. What a great convo.
That was great.
Yeah.
You know, something that stuck with us while we were going through Old City is how Evan mentioned that photography is a really challenging medium to sell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I think something else that stuck with us was his three-pronged approach to business.
Yes.
The secondary market.
Yep.
The special editions.
Mm-hmm.
And the shows.
Oh, yeah.
Do I have that right?
Yeah, I believe so. And because we saw a brand new gallery opened their first night on this first Friday, and they were also coming
taking
to
a multi-pronged
the space of
approach.
Exactly,
yeah.
And how they even know going into this, you can't just get by trying to sell art to
an introductory collector,
yes,
a novice, if you will,
novice.
Okay, let's talk about what we're doing this weekend.
Perfect.
Okay,
it's gonna be a good one again.
There's more ballet.
Ah, you know it's a good one.
Tickets for La Sylphide and Etudes, Philadelphia Ballet double bill for this weekend are still available sparingly. Cecilia Paredes, By My Side or Back of Me, opened about 3 weeks ago at the Print Center and continues to be on view until July 19th. There are two exhibitions at the Da Vinci Art Alliance, a solo exhibition by Dominique Sammarco, titled Philly Dreamin' and Becomin', on view through the 25th, and again on view through the 25th, a BYO print portfolio exchange titled What's Next? Something you missed last First Friday is that my husband and I walked all the way to the fifth floor at Paradigm Gallery, which is the BYO print exchange's workshop. So I got to meet many of the women behind it.
Oh, great.
A lot of their stuff was embargoed for private clients, so I didn't share it.
Oh.
There are tickets for Wall Ball, a mural arts fundraiser for this upcoming Friday, May 9th. Those are on sale. Also, not to be confused with that, tickets for Small Ball, the Philadelphia Theater Company's production for this summer, those are on sale.
Chris, RWK Show, is opening at Works on Paper Gallery this Saturday. Check that out. Hey, Lucinda.
Yeah.
I heard you might have got some Nutcracker tickets.
I got front row tickets for the Nutcracker, baby.
No, you did not. How much you pay for those?
$33 a pop.
What? What? Wait, how'd you get that?
You know how I got that.
Yeah, I know.
This is just a benefit to being a young friend for the Philadelphia Ballet. You put the coupon code in, Ensemble Arts authenticates it on their end, and boom. I would have otherwise paid $500 more to get the same tickets.
Wow.
Don't you want to go to Nutcracker now, Robert?
No, thank you.
Okay, guys, as always,
Philly has art.
And art.
I'm ready to jump into the cold pool, my friend.
Excellent. Perfect.
Sometimes I make him repeat it in a different way.
Yes.
Like
true.
Yeah, no, I hear
that's
you.
Why she's here.
Yes.